All right, let's dive in. Today, we're tackling Aristotle, specifically his concept of substance.
Oh, substance. A big one.
Yeah, one of the big ones for sure. But don't worry, we're going to break it down. We're looking closely at Book 7 of his Metaphysics, you know, where he grapples with that question, what makes a thing a thing?
Right, right. And what's interesting about Book 7, I think, is that it's not like he just throws a definition at us and that's it. It's like this journey.
A journey. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, he takes us on this journey where he like systematically explores all these different layers of substance.
You know? Yeah.
And he's thinking about different viewpoints and even anticipates challenges.
Okay, but before we get too far down that philosophical road, let's start with the basics.
Okay.
When Aristotle says substance, what is he even talking about?
He's getting at the very core of what something is. It's the primary category of being, like the building blocks of reality.
Okay, so it's not just a thing's qualities, right? Like a tree isn't just its height or color or where it is.
Exactly. It's fundamentally a tree.
So that tree-ness, that's its substance.
Yeah, that inherent tree-ness. To put it another way, think about a person. Now, that person might be kind or funny or have a certain job.
Yeah, sure.
Those are attributes.
Mm.
But their substance is their, like, underlying essence.
The thing that makes them them. Okay, I think I'm starting to get it, but Aristotle, actually, he throws out four different ways people think about substance. Essence, universal, genus, and...
Substratum.
Substratum. That one sounds kind of sci-fi.
Yeah. So he uses these terms to explore different aspects of what makes something a substance. So essence is like its core identity.
Makes sense.
Universal refers to concepts that apply to many things, like humanity or beauty.
Okay.
Genus is a broader category, like animal or plant.
Okay.
And then substratum. That one is the most fundamental.
The most fundamental. Okay.
So think of it like this. What if you stripped away all the characteristics of a thing, like color, size, shape, even its purpose?
Wow. Okay. What would even be left?
That's it. That underlying something that's left. That's substratum. Like the most basic element of its being.
Okay, that's pretty mind-bending.
It is. It's a pretty challenging concept, but it's at the heart of his theory of substance.
So we've got this idea of substratum, this basic, almost unimaginable kind of concept, but he doesn't just leave us there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He connects it to the world we experience.
Absolutely, yeah. He starts with what's familiar, the physical world.
Okay.
He says things like animals and plants, even natural elements like fire and water. Those are substances.
So he starts with the concrete stuff.
Yeah, grounds this complex idea in things we can see and touch.
That makes sense. But I know Aristotle was also thinking about abstract ideas. Did he think those could be substances too?
That's a great question, and it gets to a big debate. Because some philosophers, like Plato, right?
Oh, yeah.
They believed there were substances beyond the physical realm.
Like Plato's forms.
Exactly. Those eternal, unchanging things.
Yeah, pretty heady stuff.
So you had people who thought only physical objects were substances, and others who thought these abstract concepts were substances too.
Okay, so where did Aristotle land?
Well, he doesn't completely dismiss those other kinds of substances, but he focuses primarily on those that are, you know, in the world that we experience.
So he was a bit more grounded, you could say.
Yeah, a bit more grounded.
Okay, so substance is about more than just what a thing is, right? It's also about its essence, like its nature.
You got it. He believed that a thing's essence is what it is by its very nature, intrinsically.
Okay.
It's not something added on or something that could change.
So, like, I might enjoy listening to music, but that doesn't mean being musical is part of my essence.
Exactly. It's not something that defines you fundamentally.
Okay. My love of music is a part of me, but it's not what makes me me. It's more like a characteristic.
Yeah.
But how do we even figure out the essence of something? That feels like a big question.
It is a big question. And philosophers are still working on that. But Aristotle gives us some clues. He suggests looking for the defining characteristics.
Mm.
You know, those qualities that are inseparable from its existence. What makes a tree a tree? What makes a human a human?
What makes me me? Got it.
Right. That's the kind of self-reflection he was encouraging.
So substance is tied to this idea of essence, the whatness of a thing connected to its core. But there's this whole form and matter thing, too.
Nice.
And that seems super important to Aristotle. What's that all about?
Right. Form and matter. It's central to understanding substance. It's how essence is expressed in the real world.
Okay. Like he uses that bronze statue example, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
I always found that one helpful.
It's a good one. So imagine you have a bronze statue The bronze itself, that's the matter.
The material.
And then the shape of the statue, that's the form.
Right.
And then the statue itself, the combination of both, that's the substance.
Okay. But wouldn't you say that the bronze, the matter, seems like the most substantial thing there?
Ah, that's a common misunderstanding. But Aristotle argued that matter can't exist without form.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. Bronze on its own isn't anything specific. It could be a statue, a coin, a tool.
Hmm.
It needs that shape, that purpose, to become a thing.
Okay. So the form gives a definition, like a blueprint.
Exactly. Form gives matter its shape, its function, its identity.
Without form, matter is just like potential, waiting to be shaped.
Right. And that reminds me, this idea of potential connects to another big idea of Aristotle's potentiality and actuality.
Oh, yeah. Are those tied to substance, too?
They are. Substance is very closely tied to those ideas. So he said that many things exist potentially, but they're not actualized until they have a form.
Like a seed can become a tree, but it's not actually a tree yet.
Exactly. And that highlights how form is essential for something to reach its full potential and become a substance.
Okay. So substance is this thingness, this matter and form together. Form gives it its essence. Matter is the stuff it's made of. But I feel like we're just scratching the surface here, right?
We are. And in the next part of our deep dive, we'll explore some of the challenges Aristotle runs into when defining substance.
Mm.
Like the question of whether it can be created or destroyed.
Oh, okay. Can't wait to dig into that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've established that substance is this, you know, thingness, this blend of matter and form. But where does it come from? Is it created? Does it always exist?
That's a good question. And it gets to the heart of what makes Aristotle's ideas so, you know, distinct, especially compared to some of his peers like Plato.
Right.
Aristotle was really against the idea of substance being created out of nothing. Like, poof, suddenly there's a substance.
Yeah.
He said, no, neither matter nor form is actually produced. Things come to be when you take form and you impose it on matter.
So it's not that a brand new substance just pops into existence. It's more like existing elements are just rearranged.
Yeah. Like, think about building a house.
Okay.
You don't just, like, create bricks and wood out of thin air. And you don't invent the concept of house.
Right. Those already exist.
Right. They're already there.
Mm.
So you take those materials and you bring them together based on this idea of house that you have. And then, boom, you get a specific house.
Okay. I'm seeing how this applies to substance now. It's not that the matter or the form is created from nothing. It's that they're combined in a specific way to make a substance.
Exactly. Let's go back to our statue, remember?
Oh, yeah. The bronze statue.
So a sculptor isn't creating bronze out of nothing. Mm. And they're not, like, inventing the shape out of nothing either.
Right.
They take those and, using their skill, bring them together to make that statue. And a tree, well, a tree doesn't just, like, magically appear.
Right.
It comes about when the form of tree is imposed on the matter that will become the tree.
This is really interesting. Okay, so if substance isn't created, like, from nothing, does that mean it can never be destroyed?
Well, it's not quite that simple. Aristotle says individual substances can be destroyed, of course. We see that all the time.
Like, a tree can die, a statue could be melted down.
Yeah, things decay, things transform.
Right, change is constant.
Exactly. But what he's saying is that the form, like that tree-ness or that shape of the statue, it doesn't just disappear. It's just that it doesn't exist in that particular matter anymore.
So it's like the form gets repurposed or, I don't know, recycled.
Right. It can be imposed on new matter, create new substance. And that actually gets to this idea of the eternal nature of forms. Because while individual substances, you know, they're subject to change, they can be generated and destroyed, the forms are eternal, unchanging.
Makes sense. But if forms are eternal, shouldn't they be super easy to define?
You think so, right?
Yeah.
Because if something's unchanging, shouldn't it be straightforward?
Yeah.
But actually, Aristotle points out that defining things, particularly individual substances, is really hard.
Why is that?
Because of that concept of change we were just talking about.
Oh, right.
Individual substances, remember, they're in constant flux.
Yeah, they're always changing.
Right. The matter they're made of, it's subject to, you know, generation, destruction, growth, decay.
Yeah.
Always changing.
It's kind of like trying to define a river, right? It's always flowing. You can't really pin it down.
Yeah. That's a great analogy.
Okay. So how do we define things then?
Well, he suggests focusing on that essence, on the characteristics that endure through the change. What's that whatness that remains constant?
Okay.
And it's interesting because he also points out that mathematical objects, you know, they're actually much easier to define because they're immaterial, unchanging.
Like the concept of a circle is always going to be a circle no matter what.
Exactly. And this actually leads us to a really interesting debate about substance. This question of whether universal concepts like man or animal can be substances themselves.
Okay, so now we're moving from defining specific substances to defining universal concepts. Interesting. But those universal concepts, they seem pretty substantial to me.
I get that. They feel important. But Aristotle argues that they can't be substances.
Really? Why not?
Because he says that universals are shared by many things.
Whoa.
But substance is what makes each individual thing unique.
So like humanity is shared by all humans, but each person is their own substance.
Exactly. He says that if humanness were a substance itself, we'd have some problems.
Yeah.
And he illustrates this with this thought experiment called the third man.
The third man. Okay, what is that?
So imagine, right, you have the universal man and then all these individual men in the world.
Okay.
Wouldn't you need a third man to explain what all those individual men and the universal concept have in common? And then a fourth to explain what the third has in common with all the others.
Oh, I see. So it would just go on forever.
Exactly. You get this infinite loop, this paradox.
Yeah, that would be a mess.
For Aristotle, that was a sign that universals, while important, can't be substances themselves.
Yeah.
They're forms embodied in those individual substances.
So to recap, substance is this thingness made up of matter and form.
Right.
And it can't be created or destroyed from nothing, but individual substances can change and, you know, cease to be.
Right.
And universal concepts aren't substances in themselves, but forms. Did I get it all?
You got it. But to really get substance, there's one more thing we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Potentiality and actuality. Remember that seed in the tree example?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Something can exist potentially, but not be fully actual until it takes on its specific form.
Well, Aristotle applies that to substance, too. He says that lots of things exist as potential, just matter waiting.
Oh, okay.
But they don't become actual substances until they get their form, like that block of marble. You know?
Oh, right. It could become lots of things, but it needs that sculptor's vision to actually become something specific.
Right. That sculptor imposes the form on the matter. That's when it becomes an actual substance.
This is all fascinating, but how does any of this apply to my daily life?
That's what we're going to explore in the last part of our deep dive. We'll bring Aristotle down to earth.
Looking forward to it. Okay, so we're back. We've been on quite a journey with Aristotle and this whole concept of substance.
We have. From those basic building blocks to the challenges of defining things. It's been a lot.
It has. But now I want to know, like, how does all this apply to our everyday lives? I'm not walking around thinking about substratums every day.
You know, you don't have to. But I think once you get these core principles, it can really change how you see things. Subtly, of course.
Okay, I'm curious. Give me an example.
Let's take a chair. Just a simple chair.
Okay.
Before we started all this, you probably thought of a chair as well. Just a chair.
Yeah, pretty much. Something to sit on. Got four legs, a seat.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But now, think about it. You could look at that same chair and see it as like this fusion of form and matter.
Okay.
The matter might be wood or metal, but that form, that chairness, that's its essence, is what makes it a thing for sitting. And that form can be expressed in so many ways, but it's still a chair.
Yeah, you're right. It's like I never really saw a chair before.
And it's not just furniture, it's everything. A plant, a book, even music. Everything is this interplay of form and matter.
So understanding substance helps us see, like, the order of things, the connections.
Right. You start to see those forms, those essences,
yeah,
shaping the things around you.
And it's not just seeing it, right? It's like it can affect how we act, how we make choices.
Absolutely. Think about a craftsperson. They don't just randomly put stuff together.
Right.
They understand the form, the essence of what they're making. And they work with the matter to bring that form out.
Like a blacksmith shaping metal or a potter with clay. They're not making the foam from nothing. They're like working with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a way, we're all craftspeople.
Mm-hmm.
We're all working with matter, shaping it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. We're working with our bodies, our minds, the things we have around us, trying to make something. And all our choices, our actions, those are all shaping that, bringing out a certain form.
Wow. So we're all like artists then.
In a way, yeah. And by understanding substance, this whole form and matter thing,
yeah,
we can actually be more intentional about it.
Okay.
We can make choices that line up with what we want to create, whether it's with people or in our work.
This is really making me think.
And, you know, that's what philosophy should do. It should get us thinking.
So Aristotle might seem, you know, old school and abstract.
Yeah.
But he's got some things to say that still apply today.
Absolutely. It's a way of thinking about the world that's timeless, but it's still so relevant. It encourages us to look deeper, to see the connections, and to see ourselves as part of this creative process.
I don't think I'll ever look at a chair the same way again.
Right. And maybe that's the point, to take those everyday things and see them in a new light.
To find more meaning.
Exactly. To understand ourselves and the world better. And to everyone listening, that's what we encourage you to do. Go out there. Consider the substances you encounter, those everyday things. Think about their form, their matter, their essence. And see if it doesn't change how you see the world. Until next time.